Web centric XML technology, although I think it's going to find use well beyond that. It should be a nice follow up to SVG for folks who stayed in the room, and it should be a nice. Mike is deeply involved in XForms, knows as much about it as anybody out there, is working on a book to come from O'Reilly sometime early next year. So hopefully this will give you a good taste of what's yet to come.
So, was anybody here last year to hear me speak about XForms? All right, cool. That was an impromptu session. I literally didn't know about it as I came into the talk. And Notepad is my main tool. So a lot changed in the last year, and we'll see that. So I'm the editor of the W3C XForm spec. I'm also the chief XML architect at Carta Software. That doesn't really mean anything, it just sounds cool. But I keep track of the latest happenings in XML, and I help the company decide what to do. Okay, so this slide here shows something you guys have probably seen 30 times a day for the last year. And it's not to illustrate some huge problem, it's just to show the current mindset on the web today. So if you type in something in the Google search bar, and you click the Google search button, you get this little message here. It says, tip, in most browsers you can just hit the return key instead of clicking on the search button. Now the question I have is, where is that written down in the spec? How do I know how a browser's going to act in that case? It's kind of dodgy. I mean, I think you have to have one field in your form, and there has to be certain other conditions. But the other thing that's weird is, why does it say in most browsers? I want this to work in all browsers. I want interoperability. And then another issue is, where's the return key anyway? If I'm doing a Google search on my phone, what's the return key? So we'll talk about some of these things. So there's three main points that I want you to take home with you today. If you get nothing else out of this, you should realize how you use information determines whether you win or lose. It's the most important thing. Some guy from Redmond said that, some CEO. 80-20 is very important. And we're going to talk about scripting some, the evils of scripting. We want to replace scripting wherever possible, when it makes sense. And since this is only 45 minutes, we're going to have lots of pointers for further information. Okay, so the big picture. Now, I gave a talk a couple months ago at BFMA, Business Forms Management Association. That talk, I spent about 20 minutes convincing people XML is a good thing to have for your data. It's a good format to keep stuff in. I don't think I have to do that here, right? You guys are bought in to the concept of using XML. It is worth pointing out that how badly broken actually our current system is. So I'll spend a little bit of time on that. If we look at the history, HTML forms is almost a decade old. Even by our current standards, it's pretty ancient. Certainly it's older than XML. So for many years, nothing happened, until finally, we started work on XForms. So what's so bad about HTML forms? How many people here have ever written JavaScript? Good. How many people hate JavaScript? Come on, be honest. So you really need to do anything significant with forms, you need to use script. That's painful. It's hard to write. It's even harder to maintain. Something people don't notice quite as quickly is that HTML forms hold your data hostage. So when you click the submit button, the data that comes over the wire, your browser, is usually in a format called URL encoded. lets it. Name equals value. It's flat. It can't do. You can't have a purchase order with line items. You can't hire pay that. You can't represent it at all. Very painful. And even more painful, and I can say this because I spent a year implementing this for code. If you need to put an initial value in the form, you will see every form control does it a little bit differently. On the input control here, you put an attribute on it called value, and then in quotes, you put in the actual value of the form. So if you have 20 values initially on your form, you have to dynamically put that document together. And in each of those places, insert their appropriate string. And this is a big bottleneck in production level servers. In contrast with this is the approach that we're taking with XForms. Very simply, XML in, XML out. So with this approach, you have one form template. It represents an empty or a blank form, and you have XML data that can pipe into it. The user can change it, hit submit, XML data goes out. This is even good for workflow situations. Think of a travel requisition form that you probably either already filled out or you will when you get back. You fill out all the data, you sign it, you send it to your supervisor, he or she approves it, goes to HR, they put it in the records, a time off, it goes to finance, they reimburse you for expenses. In the real world, the form has a lifetime, it has a journey it makes from step to step. And XForms acknowledges this and embraces that. Also, I saw a study recently about web services in media coverage. About 20% of the respondents said, I can't stand this web services stuff. Everybody's talking about it. Get it off my screen. And about 20% said, give me more. So I have to at least mention it here. Web services is about XML, and so is XForms. So in that respect, it's a good match. We'll talk about that more a little bit later. Now, as you look into XForms, you'll see it's based on XPath. It uses XPath quite a bit. So if you've worked with XSLT already or XPointer, you already know 80% of what you need to know for XForms. So that's good. Also, a new draft for XHTML 2.0 is going to be coming real soon now, they tell me. Should be out any day, instead of for the last month. XHTML 2 will include XForms as the sole form component in there. So this old style HTML forms that we're talking about today are going away in a big way. And also, you can use XForms with SVG, formatting objects. We're going to have a couple demos of that too. Now the other thing we saw on the Google form is it was really biased towards a visual presentation. And we don't think that's good for the long term of the web. We want to see forms, user interfaces showing up on all sorts of devices. Phones, TV sets, palm tops, ATM machines, you name it. So we're really focusing on device independence for XForms. Okay, so now we're going to talk about a little bit what are XForms and what's really so bad about scripting. Scripting closes doors. This is my office. That's my daughter. Every day when I work, I get this. She crouches outside the door, patiently waiting for me to come out. And this is what happens in a project when you say, someone says, can you do this? Oh yeah, I just need to write a little bit of script. It's like, whoa, script. And the reason for that is because, well, how many people have worked on cross-browser scripting? I can see the pain in your faces. Yeah, the Cardiff product I work on in my day job runs equivalently in Internet Explorer 5, or 5.5, or 6, or Netscape 6, or Netscape 5.1 and back. Can you see my gray hairs? Question?
Let me, I just wanted to say that Yeah, client-side scripting is a problem, but scripting in its own is actually quite fine. If you, that's one of the good things we're doing in both XForms, I guess, and SVG, is that we're really trying to come up with a good set of specs with real APIs, because then scripting is quite right. I mean, the real problem is coming from APIs.
Yeah, there will always be cases where you need scripting. That's where the 80-20...
Yeah, there's always going to be one anyway, yeah.
Talking about cross-browser, is XForms supported? Like, which browsers support XForms today?
Okay, we'll talk about implementations at the end more. But right now, XForms is not quite yet a final standard. We're just putting the finishing touch on it. But there's a number of slides on that coming up. Okay, so let's look at some specific things that you would do in script that you could do declaratively with XML tags instead. So we want to define a common set of behaviors that replace all these common things we see in script. For instance, a lot of forms have an alert function in it that is triggered in some circumstance. Instead of that, you can put up a message. And I have some examples of that later. Submit. We'll have an example of this coming up too. When I hit enter in this form control, I want that to act as a submit, even if they didn't go over here and click this button. Likewise, set value. It's essentially the same as as xUpdate, an atomic value. So you identify a location in your document with xPath, and you say, here's the value, put it there. Also load. When I'm done filling out this form, I want to switch to another page. And toggle. Toggle is very cool. You can take a whole block of any markup in your host language, say HTML, formatting objects, and you can dynamically swap it in and out with other pieces of markup. So for dynamic forms, you know, enter, are you married? Yes, no. If you click yes, boom, up pops, you know, spouse name, social security, whatever. Okay. Yes. I have some really cool demos on my laptop. So if anyone wants to see them, we can talk afterwards.
Can't just wipe your laptop in the thing? Is it projected?
Yeah, I don't know why it's not working. Okay, so let's look at the Google and see if they were using XForms, how would they do it? So input is a familiar name of a form control in XForms. In XForms, it literally means just an input box. It's not used for checkboxes, it's not used for radio buttons, it's not used for passwords, it's not used for hidden controls. It's literally just an input. And you can give it a name. You can use simple names like you do today. Label is also an XForms construct. And within the label, you can put anything from your host markup language. So here we're doing an HTML image, which is actually this logo up here. And because we don't want to be a visual bias, we're including alt text here. A voice browser could handle this just fine.
Could you use the mic like that?
Okay, is that better?
Have you started the second part of the session?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, everyone in back hear me? Cool. Okay, send is an XForms action like we saw on the previous slide. And the effect it has is to submit the form data. But when? If you look at, this is an XML events syntax. So this is the XML events namespace. And the event is XForms activate. And that's defined, in such a way so that it's not keyboard centric. You don't have to have an enter key. But if you do, that's probably what you would use. All we say is every form control has to provide the user a way to activate it. And they have to document it and so forth. So on your Palm Pilot, it could be it could be a button on the screen. It could be...
Can't hear you back here again.
Okay, so... Good to see you. Good crowd here.
Could you hold the microphone like this so we can hear you?
Yeah. Let me try that. Okay, since I am an editor of the XForm spec, we need to have a digression here on terminology. Okay? If you ever see anyone use the term XForm without the S on the end of it, you can tell them that that's wrong. It's the official term is XForms. And
That's the way it is?
Just the way it is. Okay. Now, some people are starting to use XForm informally. I'm not going to go out to your house and track you. But it's kind of like using the term URL in an official spec. You can't get away with it. Okay. So XForms processor is another term you'll hear about. And really, we'll see that XForms is not a document type. There's no such thing as an XForms document type. It's a piece of a larger document. So you might have XHTML 2.0 using XForms, or SVG plus XForms, but you will never have standalone XForms. So we'll talk later about the XForms model, formerly called the data model. But that term gets used for too many different things, so it's too confusing. And instance data is the XML that you'll use. Containing document is the language neutral term. So we're going to talk about the thing that has the XForms without saying HTML or SVG. And form control. Another thing we avoid using is the word field. You see that sometimes in forms. What is a field? We couldn't even figure that out ourselves. Is it a database thing? Is it a graphical thing on the screen? It just gets too confusing, so we call them form controls. Okay, digression over. Thanks.
What was the XForms processor? I don't remember you mentioned it.
The XForms processor is the piece that handles the forms, which is a smaller piece of the entire HTML renderer or SVG renderer or browser or whatever. So let's take a look at a couple of the form controls and see how they work. Now you'll notice something on here. If you, those of you with laptops, call up the w3c.org/tr/xforms. You don't have to, but if you did, you would notice the names in that spec are different than what I have up on the screen here. And the reason for this is because XForms went into the W3C status called Last Call in January. And we got a bunch of people sent in some really good comments, some really thoughtful comments. And unlike certain other W3C groups, which I will not name, we actually are listening to the Last Call comments. We're actually changing stuff. So a lot of the comments said that the names we had chosen weren't very good. So renaming is part of the changes. And if you carefully read through all the archives on the level list and the WWW forms list, you could technically piece together this information. So the W3C police can't come after you. This is technically all public. Just in our current state, it's very difficult to find it all over the place. So here you have it. And we will be putting out a new form of published document as soon as we possibly can.
Is it still the last call or the draft?
It's in the nether state of being past last call and not on to the next stage yet. So the comment period is actually over. Now we're just incorporating all the changes and getting it into shape. It's not actually clear at this point whether we've changed so much stuff that we need to do a second last call.
Or the last call.
Yeah. We'll find out very soon. Okay, input, like I mentioned, is strictly for input controls. We've also, it's not direct data input though. It does provide an interface to the user. So we use XML schema to represent things in the XML. So if you had a date, it would be the 2002-08-31 format. Only a very poor implementation would expect the user to check that in. So the user interface is going to map that over to whatever the user expects to enter in. And it doesn't have to be an input box. It could be a pop-up calendar. It could be, if you're entering an email, it could link to your address. We don't put any restrictions on that. And that's good, because if you think about a voice browser, or think about even paper forms, think about a TeamSet. the user interface that's possible on any given device is going to vary widely, so we have to accommodate that. So the separate named thing is secret, and that's pretty much the same as input, but it's not allowed to echo back the characters for you. So when you type password, it can't show it, or speak it, or however the rest works. Okay, this thing here, you thought that was a button, I bet, didn't you? It's not, it's a trigger. We did call it button earlier, but as a number of people pointed out, that's really biased towards the visual interpretation. It doesn't have to be a button. It could be an image, it could be a hyperlink, it could be a spoken cue, it could be anything. So that's called a trigger. And we also keep submit around as a special thing, just because that's so commonly used. We do not, however, include a reset. It's possible to build it from a couple of other tags, but we really think that most forms today that have a reset button do so inappropriately. I mean, the use case for the reset button just isn't there. More people accidentally click the reset button than any other usability error on the program. Okay, select is the selection control. It lets you select zero or many things. Select one with a numeral one there restricts you from selecting exactly one thing. You can't select nothing, and you can't select more than one. We're going to see some more possibilities for this on the next slide. Okay, we define a form control called upload. This is very cool. It's hard to read on the screen here, but it says from scanner or camera, and scribble, and browse. So this is asking for an image. So again, we don't put any restrictions on how a piece of data, how the binary data gets into your form. So we expect to see digital cameras with an XForms interface on them, because it's actually easier to implement off-the-shelf components than to write everything from scratch. And so I even know of one copy machine manufacturer who is planning an XForms interface on their front panel. The output control is something completely new for your own forms. This just takes a piece of your form data and renders it inline on the screen as text. So if you have an order form at the bottom, you can say, summary, your order total so far is $300. And this can be fully calculated, and it will really help the user interface a lot in forms. And you don't need any script. And finally, another new thing we have is the range control. So this could be a slider or volume control type of thing. And again, the common thread with all these are we can describe the intent of the form control and let the implementation take care of all the details. We do not describe the specific presentation, except in parental terms. So we actually attribute call appearance to put on any form controls. And the possible values for it are simply full, compact, and minimal. If you think about it, you could map these attributes to any modality. Think of an audio browser. There could be different ways to render, say, a list of things. And this gives the author some cool screen over that. Specific examples for a select control. If you said full, that means you want everything. You want every choice to always be on the screen, no matter what. And the way that would happen is with a bunch of checkboxes. We see two things checked. Compact means if you had 100 choices in your list, you might want the actual screen real estate taken up in the visual case. You might want it to be less. So here we have a list with scroll bars, and additional choices could scroll off the back. And minimal means you want it to be as small as possible. So it could be just a single line pop-up or a drop-down list. And here we see it. That on our drop note. I also think that most forms on the web are not usable enough. Not just for the average user, too, but for users with special needs, accessibility. But to help in that regard, there's three different mechanisms that every form control can include. One we expect to get used the most is called help, appropriately enough. One way to implement that on a standard desktop browser would be for a window that pops up. So the user has to specifically ask for help by pushing the F1 key or saying, help me, or whatever. And then a modal or a modeless window would pop up with whatever message they prescribed. And it would stick around for as long as they need it, or they can click it. You can also have a more subtle hint message. And a good implementation for that would be tooltips on your standard browser. And you can also do an alert. If something goes horribly wrong, you can put up a pop-up that they have to read and dismiss before they can proceed on.
So the X form takes control of the keyboard? I mean, you mentioned F1. Why wouldn't I bring up F1 help for whatever browser I was in versus the little help that you defined for that input?
Yeah, that's a question of browser integration. So the Apple key would be handled by your browser. But information on hey, user just requesting you. Okay, so how does this actually work? If you have XML over here and you have form controls over here, how do you make the connection? How does the data know when you type in your password? How does it know where in the XML it needs to go? To do that, we have a thing called bind. So there'll be a number of bind elements in the head section of your document. You give it an ID, and you give it an XPath expression. You can also tack on other properties, like required calculations. Then, down in your user interface, you can either reference it by the ID, or you can reference it directly by an XPath. So we're starting to get some implementation experience with that, and it seems to be working quite well. I'm very happy with it. The upshot of that is, the way your form is authored is actually in two pieces. Okay, in HTML forms today, you have form, and then a bunch of stuff, and then closed form. It's all in one block. The way it works in XForms is in two blocks. So if you had an HTML document, you have a head section, and then there's similar things in SVG and FO and other languages. In the part that doesn't show up on the screen, you author your XForms model. And this includes, this is where you say what the XML needs to look like, or what the calculation needs to look like. And then in the part that does get rendered to the user, you show the body tag, or it's not a body tag, you show all the user interface. Question?
What was the reason for that choice?
The reason for this choice is that you can write your XForms model, which is really truly the form. You can write that once. And then the user interface, which is a window, you can have multiple of those that use the same XForms model. It's very similar to the model view controller sign pattern. So another thing a lot of people like to do is that you write the model once and you keep it on the client and on the server. So that way if some 14-year-old script kiddie with Telnet forges bad XML data and submits it to you, you run all the checks over on the server and you catch that.
Is that both either inline or included?
Currently the model needs to be inline. All the pieces of it can be external, but the actual model tag, close tag, needs to be inline. The XML data you point to can be external. If you have a schema that you're getting data types from, that can be external.
So you're saying that you can write that model once, use it many times, use it to paste it up, it doesn't document.
Somewhat.
Or in my case, I've got 26,000 documents.
Yeah, somewhat.
Just a little thought. But I know the comment section's closed.
We've looked into two ways around that. And in the 1.0 time frame, there were no easy solutions, not even with XLink. So here's an example of what a model might look like. So the tag is just called model. These are all the XLink namespace. An element called instance, you can either link to external XML or you can just provide it inline, as I show here. And an element called submission defines what do I do when it's actually time to submit this data. So here's some of the things that, again, without using any script, you can enforce on your form. Relevant is something that's relevant is similar to enabled in CSS, if you guys use that. So if something is not relevant on your form, it's disabled, the user can't tab onto it, the user can't fill out data. You can also declare required fields, declare something read-only, and anything you can write in JavaScript, you can enforce as a constraint on this data. And of course, we also do calculations, including automatically figuring out the right order to recalculate stuff in. Pretty cool. And minimum and maximum occurrences. In the demo that I can show you guys afterwards, you can actually have an order form with line items for each thing that you ordered, and you can dynamically add and remove complete line items. So you might want to declare a minimum number or a maximum number of those. It's all possible. So of course you can have multiple XForms models in the same document. If you look at CNN.com right now, there you'll find 7 distinct forms on that page. So we really see forms catching on in usefulness. I mean, it's really the primary way that websites are made interactive these days. And the default is to post XML when you submit, but we also support GET and PUT. So there's a good discussion earlier from the REST people, the web services people. And should you be able to use PUT for forms? And the answer we came up with was yes. Also, it's not required in the spec, but it's certainly possible. Mail to forms, so you can mail XML from the submit button to click, or file. If you combine file and PUT, you can get a very interesting system that works the same on your local hard drive or on a web server. Okay, there's 2 types of people. One type of person sees the slide and says, "Ah, I get it." And the other person sees the slide and says, "What are you talking about?" So I've gone back and forth a couple of times whether to leave the slide in here or not. Maybe you guys can give me feedback afterwards. So in XSLT, you have a source document, and some stuff transforms it, and you get a separate result document. In XForms, it's a similar process, but there's only one document the whole way through. So you have a starting document, it gets loaded into the system. Then interactively, as the user types stuff in the fields and clicks on checkboxes and lists, the XML changes. And when they click the submit button, that new changed XML goes out the pipe into the next step, wherever that is. So I guess if you're familiar with XSLT, that slide makes more sense. And we do some more advanced things too. You can group any number of components. You can do the dynamic switching interfaces and the repeating line items.
What was the last one you?
Repeating line items? That is like on the order form example, where you have part number, description, quantity, price. You can dynamically add and remove those.
Does XForms building linking or sort of nesting items, like nesting selects within selects, or doing stuff like, you know, an input connected to a select?
Yeah, we don't do a nested select per se, but you can, in the items in the select, you can have item, you can have different groupings and different hierarchies. And because this is a 45-minute talk, we're not going to be able to get into the processing level, but it's totally based on XML events, which is a new standard coming out, and basically you can apply listeners to almost any event. You can have great power over your form.
Is the processing model that you talked about, that's included on the client side?
Yes.
Okay, so we're talking about that.
Yes. And there's a whole chapter in the specification on that. It gets quite detailed. So what are your choices when you submit the data? Well, for backwards compatibility, we will still support form URL encoded. A lot of servers today expect that, and so we're including it in XForms. Text XML, that's a typo. It's actually application XML. And multi-part form data. One question everyone always asks is, does it work with SOAP? And right now, in Xforms 1.0, we don't say anything about SOAP specifically, but SOAP is XML, and we work with the XML. So that's our cop-out answer. In the future, we expect to do something with SOAP. Okay, what does all this really mean, though? Well, the unified processing is a big deal. Right now, people tend to write all their form logic twice. They write it once in Perl to run on the server, and then write it once in JavaScript to run on the client. And like the example I showed earlier, you can reuse the same XForms model. And even if you still have to copy and paste it, it's better than writing two completely separate things. This graph here doesn't represent any real data. I just made it up. But it shows a trend, right?
You made that up too, though, right?
People are using more and more different devices to access the web. And those people who will be ready for that do better. So there's a conformance level called XForms Basic. And this is specifically made for the really constrained devices. Your cell phones and your pocket computers, pocket PCs. We have a number of members from cell phone companies on our working group. So they're really ensuring that this will be available on any device. Another thing on a lot of webmasters' minds today is Section 508. That's a US code for accessibility. And if you use XForms, it really helps guide you along the true path. Make your forms accessible. I'm also working on an article that should appear, if all goes well, in Dr. Dobbs' journal on this. This is paperwork elimination. This is a subject near and dear to Cardiff Software, my employer. And I see a familiar quote on the bottom there from Bill Gates. But there's document savings over $50 per transaction. If you take what used to be a paper process, and you turn it into an electronic process. That includes the materials cost, storage, includes dropping it in the wrong inbox and someone else has to go find it and track it down. It takes into account all those things. Okay, here's the promised slide on web services. There's an article on XML.com about interactive web services. So all the web services guys are talking about, machine to machine transactions. They're the way to go. Well, I think human to machine interactions are still important too. And as long as you're using web services, you have the XML base, and you can use XForms as the interface for that. And since most of these things already have an XML schema defined, you can just point to that and reuse it directly. And all the, these are the number, this must be less than 50. All those things will take effect in the form. Okay, so the roadmap, I talked about this a little bit already. We're still not sure if we're going to do another last call or not. It's actually out of our hands. It's in the powers that be at the W3C. But there will be news on that very quickly. Here's a slide the marketing guys made me put in here. Technology comes in waves. XForms is the new wave. Okay, further information as we wind down here. This is a good URL. Actually, there's a better one on the current slide. But you can get from there to there. Okay, another question everyone asks me is, what can I, Tony, do to improve the situation with XForms? And one thing you can do is right here. You can search in the Bugzilla database for the Mozilla browser. Search for XForms or go to this URL. Register and vote for that bug. They have a voting system there, and whichever bugs or feature requests get the most votes, they get the most implementation priority.
What is it?
I'm sorry?
What is that bug?
That is the feature request to implement XForms. So I see a number of laptops up here. I want to see 10 more votes on there in the next 5 years. Okay, we have a page full of implementations on the W3C site, and there's 12 of them listed right now. We're not real strict about what counts as an implementation at this point. Pretty soon we're going to do a formal call. for implementations, and there'll be performance testing. But right now there's 12 things listed there, so you can go check those on. And Cardiff, my employer, we are actually not at this point working on an XForms engine. We're working on an XForms offering tool. So once you play around with XForms and you don't want to have to fire a notepad and start typing stuff, you can check out this URL here. And currently, let me see. Currently it's an internal beta. You can send us an email, we can get you a copy of it. But it will be formally publicly available real soon now.
On the dozen or so implementations that are listed, which ones would you start with? Would you suggest starting with?
Well, X Smiles is the one I was going to, it's on my laptop here. That one's pretty good. And the Mosquito guys have some good stuff too. That'd be my top two picks. Okay. And this is the last slide, if you're wondering what time. The primary fountain of all XForms knowledge is the mailing list. If you haven't subscribed to it, I highly recommend it. It's www.forms@w3.org. Send your first message with the subject of subscribe, and you're in. And like I said earlier, a number of times, people have made suggestions on the list, even informally, at part of last call, where, and we've used them. So we do listen to people on the list. PR/XForm, that's the official spec, if you want to read the real thing. Markup/forms, that is our public page, including the list of implementations. And the Zvon guys here have a nice reference that they take our schema that we publish and process it to HTML bit. Okay, so like Simon mentioned, I mean, this from late 2003, don't know the animal yet. And really cool thing about this book is it's under the GFDL. So that's a good thing to say at the open source convention, right? It's the open source equivalent, or the free software, I should say, equivalent of in publishing. So the full text of this book, as I write it, is available on this URL right here, tobinco.co/writing/access. There's two chapters up already, and as soon as more are ready, they'll be posted there. And I welcome any feedback. Make this the best XForms book ever.
You know, Microsoft take on XForms, they're planning to
present. I know of a number of NASDAQ-listed three-syllable companies that have internal XForms implementations, but I can't talk about it. I have to kill you.
So,
there's going to be some big names announcing XForms support soon. Question? Paul?
I have two transition questions. One is, will if I take any XHTML form and slap in an XForm as a replacement and get the same output, you know, the same old XForm submission with the ampersands and all the old crap? That's the first question. And the second one is, will I usually be able to put an XHTML and an XForm in the same document and have the right clients pick up the right form?
Okay, first question was, will it support, if you have a server out there that's expecting today's forms to submit to it, can you just slap in XForms on the client and have it just work?
Right.
And yes. this is still, I mean, not too many people are doing this yet, so we really don't know. But the way the spec is written, we fully support all the URL encoding things. We even let you pick for the separator character in the URL encoding if you want the ampersand or the semi.
Okay, that would be nice.
Yeah. There's one open issue on forms with binary data to be submitted. And those of you who follow the W3C know that packaging is a huge rat nest. And we're doing our best to untangle that. Any other questions?
Yeah, you were talking about a couple of questions about implementation. About the processing engine, you were talking about you know, how we could actually implement XForms both with processing and rendering. How do you think people should, what your take is on people implementing XForms within browsers or just as, you know, extension, maybe built on top of SVG, for example?
Okay, my take on people implementing XForms in browsers versus custom applications and embedded stuff. I think all of it has merit. The XHTML2 spec is coming down the pipe. It's supposed to be out already, any day now. XForms and XHTML2 are closely intertwined. The fates of those two are going to be related. So if the browsers get on the XHTML2 bandwagon, they will also be getting on the XHTML2. But even it's in a way it's like support for XLTA. So the client side support still really hasn't materialized. But a lot of people are doing it on the server and delivering downloadable things to the browser controllers. So we see a number of implementations doing that.
How about the second part of the question someone asked back here? Can you do a single document that has alternate kinds of forms for old browsers and new browsers?
Okay, that's
a
good
question. Is there a graceful way to do that without a rat's nest in JavaScript?
The official XHTML2 spec is going to be pure XForms, cold turkey. The way we wrote the spec, anyone who wants to can write out a X plus Y plus Z spec. So you could write an XHTML 1.0 plus XForms, and that could be your containing document. It's still a subject of a lot of experimentation, to be honest. But let me put it this way. You're welcome to suggestions, and we're even more welcome to implementations. Question?
Yeah, another question relating implementation. In the SG working group, you mentioned as XForm was not going to be a document type, but really used inline. And you mentioned how you'd use XML events to process to use Tesla events, that kind of stuff. Do you get any kind of implementation feedback of having even propagation in between namespaces actually working? Because that's a big problem we had in SVG. That's the main problem, especially in SVG. It's made even worse as pretty much people are going to use plugins for a little bit. And you might actually expect, I don't know, maybe no more, but people might come up with XForm plugin as well. And the whole namespace and plugin architecture makes it really hard to actually make good even processing, especially when XForms is really rich in that. So did you get any feedback on that?
I haven't heard on that topic specifically. The topic was namespace, event propagation.
Well, even propagation going from X namespace to other namespace.
Yeah, I do know the XSmiles browser has implemented multiple namespaces, but that's natively now through a plugin.
Yeah.
And I believe that their event system is up and running.
Okay,
anyone feel free to come up here afterwards and talk to me. And I thank you all for your attention.